morning. Praise the Lord. Good to see you here this morning. All you courageous people of faith. Amen. Walking by the word. Standing in faith. You stand by faith every day of your life, don't you? I mean, you trust God every day. If you live in California, you better be able to trust God. Right? When we arrived from South Africa, you know, we rented a car and we drove down from LAX to San Diego. And when I got here, I wanted to buy a t-shirt that said, "I survived the California freeways." You must understand something. I'd never seen 4 or 5 cars going in the same direction next to each other and then adding on lanes to turn off and all kinds of stuff. There were more cars in 1 mile of the freeway than there were in my whole city. Anyway, I thought I'd start off with something funny this morning, just to set the mood here a little bit. You know, church bulletins can be hysterically funny because the people who write them perhaps don't read them. I don't know. So let me show you this one. I wrote it down so you can read it for yourself. This actually appeared in the church bulletin. Are you kidding with me? Fasting and prayer conference includes meals. Well, you know, this is not going to be a practical course, this. This is going to be teaching you what to do if you ever need to do it. Okay? And there's another one. You know, a lot of churches in the morning service, they have 2 services. They used to have morning and Sunday night as well. So here's one that was advertising the 2 services for the Sunday. Jesus walks on the water, morning sermon, evening sermon is searching for Jesus. You know the evening service was an outreach, you know that. That was people like, come on, you're going to get saved. If you're searching for Jesus, it just didn't go down so well together. All right. So my sermon title this morning is called Miracles Are God's Love Language. There was a book written by Gary Chapman, I'm sure you've all read, a very popular, called The 5 Love Languages. How many have read that book? Do you think some of you could shout out what those 5 love languages are? Maybe shout yours out. Come on. Yeah, all together. That's fine. Go ahead. Oh, there you go. There we're hearing it. Physical touch, quality time, acts of service, gifts. How many is gifts? Only 3, come on. Be honest with me this morning. And then words of affirmation. You know, I think that Gary Chapman got this from God. I think he did because, you know, God delights in all of these. And I'm going to have a look real quickly at how God does all of these love languages for us, and he loves to receive them back. Let's start with physical touch. Think about this, the laying on of hands. It's something God instituted so that you could sense his presence and he could be there touching you. The oil anointing is the same thing. You put oil on somebody and he wants you to sense his presence, right? Physical touch. We love, even like we experienced this morning during our praise and worship, there was this tangible presence of the Lord. If you were sensitive, you could feel it. Like, I mean, we don't go by feelings, but it's wonderful when you can have those feelings. And there it is. God loves, as Pastor Cindy said, he comes seeking those who are worshiping spirit and truth. So he's coming to be with you. You know, he loves to be with his people. And so he came seeking us this morning, tangible presence of God. Quality time. Quality time. Remember Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. In that quality time, I'm going to be with you. And prayer. You know, if you go into a time of prayer and you fellowship with the Holy Spirit and you fellowship with the Lord, there is that beautiful time together, quality time with the Lord. And you know, if you don't spend time in prayer, you need to, because there's a quality time that you can have with God that you can't have any other way. It's okay to pray in the freeway. That's okay. It's okay to pray and worship while you're driving along. But it's a different thing when you shut out the whole world and you just get alone with God and you spend time in prayer. His presence, he said, is with you. Remember, he said this. He said, you're the temple of the Holy Spirit. All right? And then he said, if you draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. Isn't that God's presence? He wants to be with you. So he said, well, come on in. Come and draw close to me and I'll draw close to you. Then there's acts of service, another one of the languages of love. You know, God is always doing things for us. We may not even be aware that he's doing it. And he does things for us that we cannot do for ourselves. That makes him God, right? If I think about, remember Jesus said this. He said, if you give a cup of cold water to one of these believers, he said, you're doing it for me. Did he not say that? You're doing it for me. So there's an act of service that we're doing for one another, but God sees us as doing it for him. And he said, you will be rewarded for what you do. So God loves to reward those that are doing these acts of service. There's a great scripture that Jesus gave us in Matthew 25, verse 37. It said, then the righteous will answer him saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. You did it to me. So think about that. The acts of kindness that we show to one another, whether it's a cup of cold water, whether it's giving somebody a sweater if they're cold, or giving them $20, or giving them a hug, doing something for somebody else, Jesus said, you're doing it for him. He appreciates these acts of service that we do for one another, these acts of kindness that we do. And he said, you're going to be rewarded for doing it. Then let's talk about gifts. John 3:16. Come on. God so loved the world that he gave. He gave his only begotten son. Amen. There it is. There's God's act of love, God's act of giving, that he gives his only begotten son. Then there's a great scripture in James. I love this scripture. In chapter 1 of James, verse 17, and the Amplified Bible reads like this, every good gift and perfect gift, free, large, and full gift is from above and comes down from the Father of all. There it is. God is a giver of gifts. That's one of his love language. He loves to give gifts. And he obviously knows that we love to receive gifts. Amen. And you know, this is what amazes me about God. He is so, so creative. I'm going to show you a couple of pictures that I've got here. First of all, let me show you the Northern Lights. How many people have been to Alaska and seen the Northern Lights? Anybody? Just a few of us. Jackie and I were on a cruise ship. We were working Alaska one night, 9 o'clock, Northern Lights just flashing across the sky, just absolutely amazing. I mean, just think about God. The stars are beautiful enough. The moon and everything else is beautiful enough. But no, he's got to put on a dazzling display for us. Yeah. Just dazzling. Yeah. He's sitting there thinking, okay, what can I do now? Okay, let's do something like the Northern Lights. Let's just, because the poor people in Alaska, they don't get to see much stuff. So let's give them something really special that nobody else gets. Yeah. Northern Lights. How many of you like hiking, walking out in the forest and stuff like that? Isn't that a beautiful place to be? Look what God provided. There's so many pictures I could have shown you, but look at this one. Yeah? You go hiking out there, it's just gorgeous, and you know God's presence is right there, huh? You know, don't worship nature. Worship the one who made nature. You get out there, and you're just like, you can sense his presence. Like, you know, God is here. Yeah, he is, and he just made that for us. And there's so many places like that around the world. How many of you love sunsets? Yeah, we all love sunsets. And, you know, you get to see some beautiful sunsets here in California, San Diego. But, you know, I lived for 4 years in Florida, Tampa. And I must tell you, They have stunning sunsets. So let me show you one. This is not from Florida or Tampa, but it is just a sunset. And colors are gorgeous, just amazing. You know, God could have just made the sun go down and say, oh, it's nighttime. There it goes. Say goodbye. Let me show you another one. Just when the clouds are out there and he's setting the sun, and it's just absolutely stunning. Give me another one. Yeah, you know, there's hundreds. I mean, there's thousands of sunsets I could have shown you. But I just wanted to show you that this is God's gift to us. This is God saying, hey, look up at the sky. Look at me. I'm here. I'm showing off a little bit for you. You know, I want to let you know that I love you, and I just want to give you something to enjoy. Give me another one. This goes on and on and on. God is absolutely amazing. He loves to bless us. And then, you know, talking about us giving back to God. You say, can we give back to God? Yeah, the Bible said God loves a cheerful giver. He loves a cheerful giver. So when we give, as Pastor Cindy was talking this morning, when we give our finances to God, God loves a cheerful giver. So we have an opportunity to give back to God. We can't give him a sunset, but we can give him a little bit of money. We give him a little bit of time. We can love somebody on his behalf, and he says he loves someone who's a cheerful giver, somebody who does it cheerfully, loves to do it, okay? Then there's words of affirmation. Well, you know, just about the whole Bible, let's stay in the New Testament, is full of affirmations because there's quite a bit in Psalms and so on and so forth. I love scriptures like this, you're more than a conqueror. God is saying to you, you are more than a conqueror through him who loves you. Isn't that a word of affirmation to you? These are first scriptures like this you can find all of them. For those who don't feel loved, Ephesians 1:6 should be one of your major scriptures. God says you are accepted in the beloved if you've been feeling rejected. And then John 16:27. You know, when I read John 16:27 and Jesus said, that the Father himself loves you because you have loved me. This is a direct connection, a relationship that Jesus said we have with the Father. He said, the Father loves you because you have loved me. So there it is. There it is. There is this word of affirmation. You could say, I am loved by the Father. I'm accepted by the Father. I love Jesus and I've been loved by the Father. And here's another word of affirmation. I'm sure you all can quote Philippians 4:13, can't you? You can all quote this one. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Wouldn't that be something that you could say to your children as they're growing up and speak that into their life instead of saying you're a dumb thing, you never get amount to anything, you're no good, you're an accident, you shouldn't have been, and on and on and on, these ugly things. Instead of saying, you know what, you're awesome. You're awesome. You're more than a conqueror. Saying to them, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Don't settle for second best. You can do all things. What is in your heart, child? What is it you want to do? And, you know, these are affirmations that God gives to us. But what about our affirmations to God? Think about the other way around. Okay, I'm gonna show you one now. When we worship God, we give him affirmations. You're the rose of Sharon. You're the lily of the valley. You're the bright morning star. You're the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You're the head of the church. You're the author and finisher of our faith. You're our Redeemer, our Savior, our Deliverer, our Provider. Thank you, Jesus, for your blood. Thank you for your sacrifice. We thank you, Lord. We give you affirmation. Your name is above every name because you humbled yourself and you've been exalted. You're the Lamb upon the throne. Sit at the right hand of the Father, far above all names, all principalities and powers. Jesus, you are the Prince of Peace. Aren't those all affirmations? Just think about that. And when we give those affirmations, something weird happens to us. We get built up. We're trying to let the Lord know how wonderful he is, and then we just feel so good inside about what happened. Now, let me give you a personal story. I wish that I'd had this book, you know, when I was newly married. It would have solved a lot of problems. A lot of problems, you know, seriously. I was a typical man, and I'm not getting down on men, but some of us are dumb when it comes to romance. We just don't know what we're supposed to do. And this was a problem. I got married real young. But I'm not unhappy that I did that. We've had more time together, 48 years, so it's been good that I was married young. But I had to learn en route, okay? So one of the things when I'm an outgoing, friendly person, I love to have people. Quality time is one of my love languages. So when I started meeting with Jackie, she wanted to draw me aside. She went, no, I want you to alone. I want you alone. I want you just with me. I said, what about my friends? I want you with me. So there was a tough thing, you know, but I loved her enough to go to that, you know, beach far away. There was nobody else. And I go, whoa, this is lonely. But you've got me. Okay, so come to find out, of course, one of her love languages was quality time. Yeah? And then there was so I'm learning. So we had some problems in our marriage because I was a slow learner. And then, so I started to read books. Seriously, I started to read books on romance, and I was making notes and all kinds of stuff. And then I realized, what I did is I got it, and she's listening right now, so she's watching. Hi, my love. She knows this to be the truth. Told her afterwards. Anyway, so I got my day planner, and what I did is every day I wrote something in the day planner that I was going to do with Jackie. You know, today we'll go for ice cream. Today I'll just call you for no reason. Today I'll bring home some flowers. You know, I'll get a little card. I will try and make dinner. I will take you out to dinner, you know. Little things like that for the whole month, okay? So this is my romantic planning mind. You understand this? We don't want to make it spontaneous. For her, it's spontaneous, but for me, it's planning. Because this is who I am. I plan. So I plan to do things for her, just call her. And she was loving it. You know, she was like, this changed. My husband has changed. Awesome. So if I can do it, you can. Anyway. So one day, I'm coming home, and I forgot to call her. I forgot to do what I was supposed to do. I'm driving home. I'm not far from home, and I realize I didn't do anything. Now, when I don't do anything, what I do often is that I would go, let's go lie outside on the blanket and look at the stars. Okay? That's nice. Right? That's nice. Okay? But so anyway, I saw some wildflowers growing on the side of the road. So I pulled my car, got out, I picked the wildflowers, got in my car, and I go, oh, geez, I hope this works. And they get home, and I say, I got these for you. She said, where'd you get them? I said, they're wild growing on the side of the road. You thought we won the lotto. She was like, over the moon. You did what for me? You stopped on the side of the road. You risked your life, and you got wildflowers for me. Come here. You love me. I'm going, thank God for the Holy Spirit, you know. So then a few weeks later, guess what? Same thing happened. I forgot. I don't know if I wrote something in my book or not, but I'm almost home. I'm driving through our neighborhood. I'm almost home. And I drive past this house, and this person has got roses for Africa. Just roses in their garden. I pull up and I go, I could steal some of these roses. Then I go, wait, you can't do that. You're a pastor. You can't go and steal the roses. So I thought, you know, I'll go, and I locked in the door. And the lady answered the door, and I said, ma'am, you got such beautiful roses. Do you think I could pick some for my wife? You thought she was my wife, because she's like, oh, yeah. I don't know, I just cut as many as you want. I said, okay. So she cut like 2 dozen roses for me. So I arrived to Jackie, roses. She says, where did you get them? I said, you're not going to believe this. I stopped and asked a neighbor if they'd cut some roses. Second lotto. What are you talking about? You did what for me? And a few days later, we're driving past this lady. I said, you got to meet her. So I stopped. I said, you got to go meet the lady. I went in and I introduced, this is my wife. This is the lady of flowers. She said, young man, and I was, young man, anytime you want flowers, you come. You're a wonderful couple. Thank you so much. Lovely, lovely, lovely. So, you know, I still do that. I walk the hills where I live. And if I see people who got flowers, nice flowers, I go knock on the door. And I say to them, you got so many beautiful flowers that are just dying in the sun. So my wife loves flowers. Do you think I could get some flowers for my wife? Yeah, absolutely. So I go home, I get my slippers, get my car, get a blanket. backseat of my car, and I harvest the flowers. I'm not the gardener, but Jesus help me, I am getting flowers. And I arrive home with flowers. Almost every day when I go walk in, I'm coming home with flowers. It looks like a florist in our bedroom. There's these flowers. Where'd you get this? Oh, I picked these there. You picked you. What did you do? Picked them. See, I come to find out that Jackie's other love, you know, love language is gifts. I actually found that out not when I brought the roses home, but when I brought her a diamond necklace. That's when I really found out what her love language was. Wow. Okay, so she loves the flowers, but she also loves the gifts. And I've come to find out that also my love language is also spending time with people. Now, I want to deviate a little bit. I want to share with you something that happened November the 1st, Sunday night. I wrote to you in the email. I wanted to share this with you. You know Jackie, and so you know that this really happened because you know her. So she had an out-of-body experience in the middle of the night. And God the Father took her on a journey, took her out of her body, took her spirit. Let me explain to you that this is in the Bible, just in case you think this is weird. Paul, the apostle, said he was taken to the third heaven. And he said, whether in the body or out the body, I cannot tell. And then he said he saw things and heard things there that he could not explain or that it was he couldn't share with. Remember that? Jackie had this happen to her. She was taken out of her body. In the morning when I came in, 5:45 in the morning to her room, the caregiver said she was very restless because we have a journal that we keep noting how she's doing through that night, hour by hour. And she was very restless for about 5 hours, but she didn't wake up. And he said, I turned her and turned her. She didn't wake up. So it could have been a five-hour experience. I don't know. But what happened is that when I came in and took over the shift, she woke up and she began to cry and she began to talk to me about this experience. And I knew that this was not something normal. This was a supernatural thing. So I grabbed my phone and I turned on the audio so I could record what she was saying. And she spoke not only that morning, but the next morning as well. So I have about 4 or 5 recordings of her trying to tell me what she saw, including some prayers that she prayed. Now, at our P3 meeting this week, I'm going to have Jackie lead us in prayer because you're going to hear the prayer that she prayed. I've got it recorded. Okay, so she's going to pray. She doesn't know that's going to happen. She's finding out now. But I tell you something, I sat there with tears running down my face. I couldn't pray. I just let her do it. It was something from another world. It was just an intimacy with God that I've never heard. It's just amazing. Okay, well, after you've had an experience like this, I'm not surprised. So she was taken, and I said to her, you were taken to heaven. And she corrected me, and she said, no, I wasn't taken to heaven. I said, well, where were you taken? She said, I was taken on a journey. I said, a journey? So you didn't go to the throne? You didn't see angels, people? She said, no. She said, God the Father took me on a journey throughout the entire cosmos, galaxies, and showed me his creation. Let me play you just a fraction. As I said, I've got almost an hour of this. This is just a minute or two. Listen carefully.
Took me on a journey.
The Holy Spirit took you on a journey.
Yeah. He took me to the beginning of the earth. He took me first to heaven. And he showed me God's magnificence in all of the being of who he is. He showed me everything he was in me in such detail. He is, you can't describe him with our words. We don't have the words to describe him. The being is so out of our vocabulary.
Did you
I was
see,
there.
Did you see the I, throne? Or what?
I was not a throne. I was with him. His being. He's a being in Henry. It was, he love himself created something. Just one, it was the mighty creations that he did was, we just one. One of so much that he created. And I saw it. I was there. He saw me. He let me see him from the beginning of time, before time, our time, into his world that just always was. It was, time is relevant. It's for now. His has just always been.
And she goes on like it for an hour. And she talks about what God has shown her and the various creations that he did. And even takes her to the beginning of earth. He actually showed her. You understand something? He showed her the creation of earth. She watched it happen. Because there's no time with God. So he took her back on this journey. And she watched it happen. She watched the earth being formed and made. So I will leave that for another time. We'll show you a little bit each week as we go. It's just too much to show you, to let you know all in one go. But one of the things that she said that was just so remarkable is that the Lord loves to do miracles for his people. She's talking from God's heart about miracles. So I have another sign by it. Just 1 minute, if we can play that.
And I'm so glad that you're preaching on miracles. Because I want to tell you something. Now I know that that's the language of God. Miracles. Because that's the only way he can help us as a race.
As humans, eh?
With miracles. So that's his way of loving us.
It's his love language.
Yeah.
Wow.
So he does want to do it all the time.
So he does want to do it?
All the time. He wants us to live there. Because he said that's what he wants to give us.
So God was sharing with her some very intimate things about his personality, his character, and his relationship with us. And you can tell why this has impacted us so dramatically, because everything she says is right out of Scripture. But it's a different thing when God says it to you and you're in his presence. I've always wanted to go and see Jesus. I've got so many questions. I want to sit and talk with him for a bit. Okay, but Jackie gets the ride. But, you know, in tears, she says, I don't know why he took this little old woman on such a journey. I don't know why. Well, I said, because you don't get out much. That's me, okay? That's what I said to her. But that's a little extreme. Let's talk about God's love language. Miracles demonstrate God's love for us, whether they are small or whether they are big. It doesn't matter. And God sometimes camouflages and disguises his miracles that he does for us because he seems to be wanting to be anonymous. Like he doesn't always make a big show about it. So God is love. And while he has these five love languages that humans have, he also has an all-encompassing love language that expresses all of these five. And as you heard Jackie say, it's miracles. And if you think about it, miracles does everything. It touches you. It's God's presence. It's gifts. It's affirmations. Everything that you could possibly mean wrapped up into one thing, God doing miracles for us. All right, so I want to read to you, and we want to look at a miracle, and I'm almost out of time, and I haven't started my sermon. Is it okay if you keep going? It's all right? Okay, you're not going to go anywhere because it's all shut down, so you might as well stay. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8. Now, it happened one day that Elisha went to Shunem, where there was a notable woman. It was a notable woman. She was a wealthy woman. She was well recognized. And she persuaded him to eat some food. And so it was, as often as he passed by, that he would turn in there and eat some food. Now, watch this woman. First thing I notice about her, she's kind, she's compassionate, she's thoughtful. She respects the man of God, and she's concerned about his basic needs. Just watch this woman's heart, okay? Just watch this woman's, because you're going to see something that ignites the love language of God through what this woman's doing. And she said to her husband, "Look now, I know that this is a holy man of God who passes by regularly. Please let us make a small upper room for him on the wall, and let's put a bed in there for him and a table and a chair and a lampstand, so it will be whenever he comes to us that he can turn in there." Well, what just happened is that she raised her level of giving. She raised the bar. She takes her giving to a new level. She challenges herself and her husband to do more than just feed the prophet. She started off with her kindness and her generosity feeding the prophet, but she says, you know, we can do more. She was a notable woman. They had a good-sized farm. They had servants working for them on the farm. She says, we can do more. Let's build him a place where he could come and rest and, just relax. He says, why should we be living in luxury and the man of God not have his basic needs met? It doesn't seem right. And then she says, why really shouldn't we provide some basic comfort for the guy so he could sleep inside instead of having to sleep outside in the cold on the floor? We can do this. We can do this for the man of God. And then it happened one day that he came there and he turned into the upper room and he laid down. Then he said to Gehazi, his servant, call the Shunammite woman. And when he called her, she stood before him and he said to Gehazi, now say to her, look, you have been concerned for us with all this care. What can I do for you? See, her kindness, her compassion, her generosity had God's attention. Her love language of sharing and giving gifts and so on had got God's attention. So he responds to her with love. He responds to her. And I really, God wants to do something for this lady. He wants to respond. But what is so amazing about God's response is he says, what can I do for you? Is this not God just blessing her some way with more sheep and cattle or something else? He says, what can I do for you? And I feel impressed this morning to say to you, Jesus is standing in front of you this morning. And he wants to respond to you and use his love language on you. But he wants you to choose. What do you want me to do for you? Think about Almighty God standing in front of you this morning and say, what is it? What is on your heart? Let's be specific about it. What can I do for you? See, we're always going to God maybe and talking about it, telling God, but he's saying today, specifically, what can I do for you? So, I believe just that this woman was compassionate and kind and generous. I believe God is saying to you this morning, you've been kind, you've been generous, you've been compassionate. And I believe that you have sparked something in God's heart. And God wants to meet your needs and go beyond it this morning. He wants to respond to your generosity. He wants to respond to your love. He wants to respond to your compassion that you've shown. And he's asking you, what can I do for you? What can I do for you? So Elisha says, do you want me to speak on your behalf to the king or to the commander of the army? And she answers, no, I dwell among my people. So she is humble. She actually doesn't want to make a big deal out of this. She was just doing it out of the kindness of her heart. She was just like, I want to do this. She wasn't thinking, I'm going to do this so that you can. You get the attitude? She wasn't looking for something. She was just wanting to be kind. She was just wanting to be generous. She was just wanting to love. Just, look, you've got a need, and I can meet the need. So I'm going to do that. And I don't want anything back from you. I don't want to thank you or everything. And when he says, can I do this for you? Can I speak to the king? Can I speak to the commander? She says, no, I'm cool. I'm fine. I'm okay. I'm good. I don't need anything. I don't need anything. Well, it's so interesting that God says, okay, I'm going to give you something that you've actually given up on. Verse 14. So he said to her, what then can be done for her? So guys, he said, actually, she has no son and her husband is old. So he says to Gehazi, call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the doorway. And then the prophet said to her, about this time next year, you shall embrace a son. See, what she had done released God's love language in her life. And what you need to know is that what you have done has released God's love language in your life. But God responds to her generosity through the prophet, what she did for the prophet, 1,000 times bigger than what she could ever imagine. I mean, she wasn't thinking a child. She wasn't thinking like anything of that nature whatsoever. A child, I think, must have been her deepest heart's desire. You think God knows what your deepest heart desire is? I bet he does. I bet he does. And so God says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give you that thing that you've actually given up on. You've given up your hope of ever having a child. Your husband's old. This is going on, and you're not going to have it. You've given up. And listen to me, child of God. Just about everyone sitting here this morning has a hope that you have given up on. Something that you wanted in life that hasn't materialized, hasn't come to pass. And I believe this morning that the God of hope is going to release into your life love language of miracles. And he's going to bring to life that hope that you've let go. The very thing that is in the deepest recesses of your heart and mind that only God knows about. Maybe others know about it, but he's going to do it for you. So she says, oh no. Oh no. I'm not going to homeschool. No way. No, my Lord. Man of God, don't lie to me, your maidservant. Don't lie. So, don't make me a promise you can't keep. How many times do we unfortunately read the Bible and we go, yeah, but that might be good for somebody else, but not for me? You know, I've tried this, but I don't want to test this water because I don't want to be hurt. Do you know how many times we have been into hospitals to pray for sick and the family have been there? Or we've called them and said, we're going to come pray for the sick. We're going to come pray for your family member. And we've gone in and we've prayed the prayer. And, you know, we've said that you're healed in Jesus' name. And they say, don't say that. Don't build their hopes up. Actually told us, don't build their hopes up. Because what happens if it doesn't happen? What happens if it does? But don't build their hope up. Why? You can't live without hope. You have to have hope for tomorrow. Okay? No, man of God, don't do this. Don't do this to me. So the bottom line is she's actually having difficulty receiving from God. And I wonder how many people today, God wants to show his love language and we reject it. We reject it. Just like the healing situation. Maybe God does want to heal you, but you have given up on it. You've given up your hope of ever being healed. And he said, don't make that promise to me. Don't prophesy that over me. Don't quote that scripture over me. I don't want to be disappointed again. It hasn't happened. It hasn't happened. You've given up on it. Maybe there's a relationship that you've been wanting, whether it's friends or whether it's marriage. I don't know. But there's a relationship you've been wanting, and it hasn't worked. And you think, I'm just going to be like this for the rest of my life. Don't give up on it. But maybe God wants to do it, and you go, no, it's okay. I'm fine being alone. I've learned to live with it. This is it. I don't need anybody else in my life. Maybe God wants to do something for you. Maybe it's in the financial realm. Maybe God wants to bless you in the financial realm. And you also reject that. Pastor Cindy said this morning, God said, if you'll sow, you'll reap. Yeah, not so much. God wants to do the reap. God wants to bring that harvest into you, but you don't want to receive it. You would not believe how many people, how many Christians absolutely think God wants us to live in poverty. They actually think wealth is a curse. They think if you're wealthy, you're not spiritual. So I encourage them, go to India and become really spiritual. Don't live in America in San Diego, drive two cars and have a Rolex watch and have three jobs and then be spiritual because you don't give. Now give up your jobs. Go live under the bridge. Be spiritual. Be spiritual. See, Christians that do that, they're ignorant or they just don't know the Bible or they just, well, let me stop there before I get in trouble. What about salvation? What about salvation? God wants to bring salvation to people. You share it with them. You share with people that are not saved. And you say that you want to go to heaven. Jesus wants to save you. He wants to give you this magnificent life. Well, no. I'm new age. I'm this. I'm that. I'm whatever. I don't care what you are. Don't you want to be saved and receive what Jesus did on the cross for you? No. I've got my own way of thinking. Yeah, and all paths lead to heaven anyway. No, they don't. Because God wants to save people and they're rejecting salvation. I mean, it's crazy. Anyway, continue reading. Verse 17. But the woman conceived and bore a son at the appointed time that Elisha had told her. And then the child grew up, and it happened one day that he went out to his father to the reapers, and he said to the father, my head, my head. And he said to the servant, carry him to his mother. And when he'd taken him and brought him back to his mother, he sat on her knee until the noon, and he died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, then shut the door behind him and went out. This is a significant turn of events. This is a significant turn of events. Her miracle child dies. You know, the miracle that God gave her turns to a disaster. She once what was bringing her great joy is now bringing her great pain and sorrow. The very thing God gave her has turned and has now become a source of pain and sorrow in her life. My question is, has Satan stolen God's miracle? And I want to ask you that question. Has God done something in your life that you would classify as a miracle? You look back and you say, God has been good. God has done this. And then something happened. Something happened. It turned on its head. Something went, that which God has done has now seemingly gone away. Did Satan steal God's miracle? So how does she react? Does she blame God? Does she get bitter and twisted? Does she get all angry? Does she say, why me, God? Why have you done this to me? No, not at all. She doesn't. You know why? She doesn't do that because she knows that God did it in the beginning. That was God's love gift to her, the child. And you know what? She knows that God still loves her now. Listen carefully to me. God has not changed her circumstances have. Listen carefully. In your life, God hasn't changed, but your circumstances have. And now how are we going to deal with this? What are we going to do about it? Say that with me. God still loves me. God hasn't changed. My circumstances have. So what did she do? She takes her child back to the room where Elisha was. She goes back to the place where she first got the word from God. Where she first got the promise, she goes back there. Literally, we could say this. Go back to the promise of God. God gave you this miracle. God set it in motion for you. Now something has happened. It's turned on and said, go back to the promise that God gave you originally. Because God hasn't changed. So then she calls her husband and she says, please send me with one of the young men and one of the donkeys that I may go to the man of God and come back. So not only has she taken her child, the miracle child, put him on the prophet's bed, now she's heading back to the prophet. So she goes to the prophet, or we could say in today's vernacular, she goes to God. And we can learn a great lesson here. When things turn around, when we get into trouble, run to God in your trouble. Do not run away from God. Because trouble will come and find you. So when trouble comes, run to God. He's your refuge. So her husband says, why are you going to him today? It's neither a new moon or a Sabbath. And she said, it is well. Now her child is lying dead upstairs. And she says, it is well. She does not tell her husband that their child is dead. You know what she does? She holds on to her miracle. She holds on to the miracle child God gave her in the very beginning. When she says it is well, she is not lying. She's calling those things that be not as though they were. She's calling the child healed. She's calling the child risen. She's saying this miracle is alive. It's not dead. I'm not going to let go of the miracle God gave me. Children of God, listen to me. Listen to me. When Satan comes, it's like a tug of war. He's got the other side of the rope and he's trying to pull you over to the negative side. He's trying to pull you over to the defeated side. He's trying to pull you into the side of lack and sickness and everything else. And you've got to say, no, it is well in the name of Jesus. Say that with me. It is well.
It is well.
Say it again. It is well.
It is well.
You see, as I told you last week, there is a miracle in your mouth. But defeat is also in your mouth because life and death is in the power of the tongue. And this child's life or his death was now in the mother's mouth. So it was when the man of God saw her from afar off, he said to his servant Gehazi, look, the Shunammite woman, please run and meet her now and say to her, is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? It is well with the child? And she answers, it is well. She doesn't tell the servant the problem. She says, it is well. She doesn't tell the counselor. Child is dead. She said, it is well. It is well. What's coming out of her mouth is her faith. She is believing God. Somebody has got to hold on to the miracle. Somebody has got to believe God. Somebody's got to say, I'm not letting go of what God has given me. Somebody's got to say the word of God is true and what God promised is going to come to pass. Somebody's got to say his word will never be broken and what he said is going to come to pass. Somebody's got to say God and his word cannot be broken and what he said with his mouth will come to pass in Jesus' name. Somebody. She refuses to surrender, not even one inch, to the negative side. So now Gehazi is sent down by the prophet. He goes ahead of them, lays his staff on the face of the child, but there's neither voice nor hearing. Therefore, he went back to meet them, and he told them the child has not awakened. Thank goodness Gehazi didn't say the child is dead. He had more sense than that. He said the child is not awakened. So he was saying the child is asleep. So watch this. God sends help to you. And the first attempt of the help fails. Sometimes the first prayer doesn't work. Sometimes you get a job and you think God is, this is the solution from God. And you get COVID-19 and you lose your job a week later. Something happens. It looked like God had sent help. and then the help failed. And now, what are you going to do? You are standing by faith. You went up for prayer. You read the Bible. You gave the money. You are trusting God. And it fails. Are you hearing me? This is life. This is what happens. This is what happens. It would be awesome if we prayed a simple prayer and instantly, bam, everything was fine. No problems. But I'm here to tell you, God is not scared of a fight. God is never late. He's never early. He's always on time, but it's around about the 11th hour. We think he's late. Isn't that the truth? We think you're late. You could have shown up yesterday, you know. I didn't have to go through this anxiety for the last 24 hours. After all, you are God. I know there's no time with you, but hey, there's time with us. But God is not afraid of a fight. And if God is fighting with you, who can be against you? And so even when you do that first thing and it doesn't work and you felt God sent help, and God did send him. God did send him. She doesn't say a word. She doesn't say a word. It's not recorded. Nothing. Nothing. He comes back and said, didn't work. And she goes, she is not going to agree with this thing that it didn't work. She's going to hold on in her heart to what God promised. She's going to hold on. She's not going to let go. Are you hearing me, church? Listen carefully to me. It is not easy to do. It's not easy to do. It's much easier to roll over and to complain and to start saying, where is God? Why has he let me down? I've tried this and I did that and I went to the promise twice and it didn't work. And they prayed for me. I'm even graduated from Bible school. Watch your mouth. Watch your mouth. You've got to hold on. You've got to hold on even when the boat is sinking. You've got to hold on. Don't let go. And if you can't say anything good, shut up. Okay? Don't say what you don't want to come to pass. Do you know that when you say things out of fear and anger, that you're actually using more faith than when you say it in faith? You said things in anger and they come, and you go, whoa, if you only said that in faith with that much, maybe it would happen. Right? It's crazy how we allow our emotions to get up there and we speak those things out and we go, whoa, if you spoke to the devil like that by faith, it would happen. But we don't. We're like, oh, Jesus, sweet and mild, peaceable child, heal me if you will. And we don't know why it didn't work. She doesn't say anything. So Elisha comes in, goes inside, prays for the child, spends some time with the child, and then verse 36, he says to the Shunammite woman, pick up your son. Here he is. Her faith produced it. I believe with all of my heart that God wanted to encourage some people here today, that he wanted you to know that you're going through some tough times, but he wants to demonstrate his love language to you, and that don't let go of your faith. God promised, God is faithful, God is doing it. Receive his love language today. It is miracles, miracles, miracles. God wants to do miracles in your life. Let him do it. Let him love you. Amen. Let him love you. Amen.